Blog Talk Radio.
Hell, here we go. 213-943-2663. Get a call from 310. There you go, 310.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? Can you hear me? Yes. Lower your computer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, let me pause that. Okay. Hello. Can't hear you on my end. That's my problem. You have me muted. You have me muted.
You
should
make a phone call. I have a problem.
You can't hear
me muted.
Hello? What? Hello?
You have me muted.
Did you? I don't know. It's sort of. That's part of it, but I don't know.
Okay.
It was jarring.
Oh, so she was very shaved, I'm guessing?
I don't think so. No.
So there was pubis?
Yeah.
That's not what I was saying.
Why would you, assume that she would be shaved?
She said she looks like a toddler. Toddlers
not,
don't have pubes.
I'm just talking about the shape. I'm not talking about the
I mean, I assume I'm not looking at naked toddlers.
I don't know.
Now you notice?
It was like a little bit of like a pot belly, and there's a flatness, and it's just very pasty. It was just like, you know, you see a baby out of their diapers just walking around in their parents' living room, and it just sort of was like that.
Smoking
but
a
like
cigarette.
5'8".
What was the context that she got naked in the
she
show?
She was just like, I think she had just gotten out of the shower or something, and she was like in her bedroom.
So it added. Okay.
And like maybe shock value.
All right. You write a bit at least. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, what do I know?
Yeah.
That work where they just tell you to restart.
Yeah.
Like I asked them to set up a laptop and then it wasn't working. And they're like, oh, well, because it's your new laptop. You have to like restart the computer like at least 5 times.
What?
Why can't you fucking
five
do that
times?
For me?
They're fucking. With
I've
you.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
That's true.
And they're probably like on the security camera watching you just keep rebooting and laughing. Cause yeah.
Probably. I mean, definitely. What else are they doing? Right. Mm-hmm. Not fixing IT problems.
All right, well, I think we got it working. Let's try it again. 213-WIDE-NUT, 213-943-3688. Area code 601, do you hear us on the phone?
Oh, yeah, I hear you all.
All right, what's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, this is Casey. I'm from Mississippi.
What's up, Casey?
I have a Mississippi accent.
Not much. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Long-time first-time. I love that.
Trying to get the strength to go to the library and figure I'd call y'all first and see how y'all are doing.
Nice.
Why do you need strength to go to the library? Do you just hate books? And this is like.
Is there weights there?
I got to write 3 papers and I don't want to.
You know, that's understandable. What are the papers?
Nationalism in East Asia, a paper in Italian, and then a paper on anthropology, and I don't even know what the subject is, but they're all pretty short, but I still just don't want to go do it.
Oh, there it is. No, all right. Well, did you have something you wanted to ask about, or did you just want to listen in and have us motivate you to go to the library?
A little mixture of both. Wanted to wish Noah a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it was always on my bucket list to call y'all. You got me through any long car ride, and I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate you appreciating us.
So now that you've checked this off the bucket list, what's next? Is it just suicide now, or do you have other things on the list?
We'll see how the rest of the semester goes.
Good luck.
How long have you been listening?
I've been listening since September. The first time I listened was the episode about the guy from Decapitated. And, yeah, I was hooked then.
All right. A little Decapitated.
Yeah.
Rape Convo hooks you into the live cast.
What ended up happening with that?
The case got dropped. There wasn't enough evidence. So either the woman didn't want to testify or something, or, you know, like the evidence was found to be bullshit.
Insufficient.
Yeah. So who can tell?
Is the band still together?
Yeah. They started playing shows in Poland. They haven't booked anything in the U.S.
Yeah, they kept them in jail for a while, too.
Yeah, they were in there for at least a month. Yeah, and then you were held for a little longer while the case was being investigated. What were you going to say?
Yeah, they should probably not come back.
Probably
stay in Poland. Yeah, they should probably just stay in Poland.
I mean, I don't think they want to come back.
Yeah, they might not even want to.
Bad case
in yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They should probably just stay where their fan base is at.
Did you just say, Noah, that it left them with a bad taste in their mouth? It's bad enough the woman got assaulted. Now you got to criticize her flavor.
Allegedly, she got assaulted. We don't know.
I mean, they got let go, right? And the justice system works.
Good. Nice.
All right, Casey. Nice. We're going to keep it moving. Good luck at the library.
All right, y'all take care, all right? Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. 310, we're going to try again, and I'd like to apologize to you personally.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
Hello?
Hear you.
Yes, finally. Oh, thank God. It's me, the Edge Lordess, on the Discord.
Hello, Edge Lord.
Say hello to Jim Florentine.
Hello, Jim Florentine.
Hi, stranger. Hello.
So how's it going? What are you calling about?
I wanted to wish Noah a happy birthday. This is also my first time calling in. This is
thank you.
Special to me.
You're special, so... Thank you for calling and wishing me a happy birthday. And showing Jim Florence how our phones work.
Yeah.
This is the first time everyone's calling in because it's the first time the phones have worked.
Yeah. I met this call like much sooner.
Uh-huh.
Forgive you.
There's a bunch of people on hall that want to comment on our 2010 show that we did.
They're just getting August. Joe, Edgelordis, were you the one on our Facebook who thought for a second that Noah was actually 56 years old? Or you were confused if she was?
And the phones don't work again.
No. She's gone.
Fun while it lasted.
All right. We'll keep it moving. 330, area code 330, you're on the
line. Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland, you're on the live cast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Zach from Ohio.
Zach from Ohio. What's up, Zach?
Hello, Robba. How you doing?
Good. This isn't Zach Beats, is it?
No, this is Zach Jira, Jira.
Okay, I didn't know the spelling. But
social?
Okay.
Last 4 digits of social?
Yeah, I saw Jim Florentine was on there, and I'm like, hey, I better call in, because I was at his comedy show at the Funny Stop a month ago.
Hey, remember that?
Do you remember
that?
Was
that your show?
Talk to Zach at the comedy
show? I probably did after the show if he's a metalhead.
Yeah, it was me and my father who went to the comedy show, and I bought a That Metal Show t-shirt from him.
Zach.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah,
awful. Zach. Yeah, what shirt were you wearing when you went to see Jim?
It was like, I was wearing a blue, kind of like a nice blue shirt, and then I was wearing a hoodie in it.
You wearing a nice blue shirt at your show?
What kind of shoes? I don't remember. Nice eyes, right?
it's okay, yeah. I called also, I wanted to wish Noah a happy birthday.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Mouth full of cake.
Yeah, I've been listening to the podcast for almost 2 years. I think one of the first episodes I remember listening to was when you guys were talking about the real Queen of Vagina.
Oh
yes,
God.
The legendary Queen of Vagina, yes.
Do you have any new tracks out? We haven't touched base with her in some time.
We'll check in.
You must have something.
All right.
I do have one question for Jim.
Okay, what's up?
I had one too, but fine.
All right, so one of your podcasts was you were talking about like really bad repetitive quotes, like it is what it is.
Yeah.
What do you think of the quote "shit happens"? Are you sick of that quote?
Yeah, you know what? That's an old school one. That's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
shit happens.
I feel like I don't hear that as much anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, that dude that, you know, works in the office from your hometown. You go back there to visit your parents. Say, how's it going? You know, shit happened.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I got a DWI a couple months ago. Shit happens. I mean, yeah. What are you going to do? You know,
you made that shit happen.
Yeah, exactly.
My wife left me. I got a sciatica.
Like,
you know, shit happens.
I feel like that's been replaced by the shrugging emoji. Now people just do that instead. Like nobody says shit happens anymore.
Yeah, that didn't bother me that much back in the day. But whenever someone said that, you knew it was just like, you know.
Yeah,
this shit happens.
It is what it is. It ticks me off too, as well. Because like, what is that? What is it? What is it?
At
like,
the end of the day, it is what it is. They throw them on together, and then you're like, okay, so now what?
All right. At the end of the day, it is.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
In the middle of the day, it might not be what it is.
But in the morning,
right.
It's different.
It might even be something.
You don't know
else.
What it is yet in the morning. You just got up.
Yeah, I know.
And you realize as the day goes on that it is what it is.
Around 4 o'clock, it's getting towards being what it is.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it is what it is.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Not for nothing.
Thank you. One.
Hey, sorry, I didn't remember what shirt you wore.
He didn't even
fucking remember. It was blue.
Shit happens.
I have a question.
Oh, he's right here.
What's his name? His name is Jack. No, Zach.
Zach.
Zach. How many times did you see Jim Florentine in April?
Or March.
Or March.
One.
No.
Started. We're done with this. We're done.
You have to explain to Jim what they want. The
people say one, we just hang up on that.
Yeah, so I just tried to trick him, but he knew it.
James has to go saying goodbye and drop.
Send a dance mix.
So you also recently put out a book, a memoir.
Well, it's more like a little memoir than a lot of rants. Basically based off my podcast.
Oh,
a little bit of everything, yeah.
Oh, really? So did you like collect stories? It's called Everybody's Awful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Telling him or asking him?
No, I was telling you. I was pretty confident about it. And then you gave me a look and I was like, wait, did I forget it?
No, I didn't. Did I give you a look? Sorry.
He's just trying to charm me. How are his hands, though?
I was actually going to say you have very nice hands.
But they're not rough because I just lift a microphone. So there's no,
there's no calluses.
They're big.
There's no calluses or anything, though.
You keep them clean, though. There's no dirt under
your
nails.
I do chop some wood, and I got a fireplace and stuff like that. But they're really smooth.
Bearskin rug in front of that fireplace?
It's almost like I don't do anything. Like I don't work. So
I know, but you have like the potential to have good working hands.
When I did physical labor, I did.
I can change you.
She's got an IKEA bookshelf she needs put together. Maybe
I don't know how to put shit together. I don't. So.
Well, no, you know, you just go to handy.com and bring someone over to do it.
Handy? What are you talking about, Rob?
I was there last night at 2 a.m.
It's like.
No one misunderstood what handy was. She was calling. She thought
different
it was a dating
kind of
site.
Handy. Different kind of handy.
No one's gonna date Jim and wait till he falls asleep and smash his fucking fingers with a meat mallet.
Oh my God.
I will change you.
Cheese grater.
I can work some calluses up in a few days.
Do you play guitar?
No.
Can you play guitar?
No. Nope.
Did you ever attempt to play guitar or any instrument?
Yeah, but I was a lefty and nobody could teach me.
Mm.
All my friends were righties growing up and they were like, flip their guitar around. I couldn't do anything righty. So
yeah,
it just didn't work. I don't have the ear for music either.
Same.
You know, so.
That's why I write about it.
Yeah.
Works out very nice. That's why I don't listen to metal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do we have another 818 call or is this the same 818? 818. Hello.
Oh, I know what they're doing.
What are they doing?
I don't know. I have to hear it again.
Sounded like typing.
Hello, 818.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's me, Godslumper.
Hey. Oh, it's God Stomper. Okay, what's up?
Just so everyone knows, this is the gentleman who walloped Rob in a shrimp eating contest.
We had a shrimp eating contest. He won because he ate the shells, which is gross.
Every phone call feels like a butt dial.
Yeah.
Like it's 2 minutes of just like these noises and like, oh, you know,
oh shit, I'm on.
You hear some other conversation. He's talking to his friend.
It's been all of our shows for 10 years, dude.
We're used to it.
It's live, baby.
I love it.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. What are you gonna do? Shit happens. Sometimes the phones don't work.
They gave it 110% on the
call.
Just didn't
work. Yeah. What are you going to do?
They left it all on the phone. Noah will edit this, though, after the show, correct?
No, I won't. Okay.
So what's up, God Stomper?
Warts and all. It's days.
I just wanted to wish Noah a happy birthday, like everyone else. Happy birthday, Noah.
Thank you.
A long time ago, I think it was like a month or so, that I left the voicemail. I haven't been calling or leaving voicemails. But you guys didn't know what boa meant. Remember when I challenged Noah to a jiu-jitsu match and I said Noah boa, Noah boa?
Oh, okay. Yeah. What does it mean?
Yeah. I'd rather tell you, because if you ask a Brazilian, they're gonna tell you that it means pussy or fuck or something. But I would just, well, it does mean fuck, but not pussy.
So you're challenging me to fuck off?
Wait, what?
No. It's because I turned into a jiu-jitsu match, and I kept saying Noah, Poa, Noah, because I went with it, because, you know, Noah, Poa.
I'm going to fuck you up, right?
What?
Because I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh, so to fuck me up? Nah, I don't think so.
Oh.
Well, listen, all I'm going to say is Rob thought he was going to fuck this guy up in a shrimp eating contest, and it didn't work out so good, so.
Yeah, he's going to cheat somehow, Noah.
Yeah,
he's going to give you a low blow.
He challenged me to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match.
Right.
And, like, do you train jiu-jitsu?
No, I used to, so I'm pretty sure you fucked me up. But I used to do 10 times jiu-jitsu.
He just wants to rub up against you for, like, 10 minutes.
He just wants to, like, hump my leg.
No, but I was actually... I can't do that challenge because my wife said that, hey, you know, she's pretty hot and I don't want you rolling with her. I was like, it's just rolling, you know, but I got to respect that.
Sorry, right. No.
What a great husband.
That's fine.
Listen, Rob Stomper, what kind of hands do you got? She's curious.
What kind of hands?
Yeah. How kind of callous? Scale of 1 to 10. How rough are your hands?
Like an 8. I'm calloused up. Why?
We knew he doesn't peel shells, though. He doesn't do that, so that might be why.
So he doesn't have dirt on
the shells. I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay. Well, Godstopper, how many shrimp eating contests did you beat me in?
Darren already said that one. You gotta tell me something else.
Okay.
Well, he said one.
What is the total amount of shrimp eating contests you will ever beat me in?
Say one.
All right, I hung up. Edgelordess, she actually wrote in the chat. We also have a chat going.
Really?
Well, this is very technological.
High class operation.
In the chat, since she couldn't get her question out.
You guys got email, too?
We do. Yeah. Wow. Hatemail@metalinjection.net is how you can. Yes, and you can leave a voicemail. Any way you want to interact with us, we will accept it. Telegram, except for Telegram. We're no analog interactions.
Play VHS clips sometimes.
Got all of it.
So Edgelordis asks, so I moved to New York City a couple of months ago, and I went to my first concert out here, Camelot.
Oh, goodness.
And my question is...
You know the band Camelot?
Yeah.
Nice.
Are mosh pits generally nicer here, or is it just that Camelot, or is it just the Camelot fan base?
Camelot fan base.
Because LA mosh pits are not this chill. I would agree with Noah. I think it's just because it was a power metal show.
Yeah, it depends on the show.
If you go to a hardcore show, it is the douchiest dudes in the pit.
Yeah, or go to a Hatebreed show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go see them Thursday to play in Hatebreed and Killswitch. And
where are you going to stand for that?
I don't go in a pit.
But where do you like to watch concerts from? Like, do you have, like, a specific section or just, like,
outside the pit, usually, like, around by the soundboard.
Oh,
I won't
go
up too close because it's too packed.
Then
I'm going to get hit in the head, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you.
People crowd surfing. I don't want to get, you know, a boot in the head from behind.
standing by the soundboard, that's like the sweet spot, because then you're getting the mix like the sound guy is. So that's like the best place.
So I try to hang around there.
Yeah, I agree. And the moshers don't want to go by the sound because there's the barricade, and their poor hands might get hurt while they're like, you know, throwing fists.
And then Noah will fall in love with them.
Well, if they only knew. The scouting department. But also, it's not close enough to the stage for them. They want the chance of being noticed by the band or getting on stage and then doing a stage dive.
That was, here's old Camelot. Oh, I got all going just for you.
The band with the politest mosh pit.
Was this at Gramercy or BB King's? I feel like those are the only two options for where the show could have been.
Well, BB King's is closing.
Yeah,
I believe it was at Hurley.
Yeah,
it's closing this weekend.
I didn't know that.
But they haven't had metal shows there in forever.
They
like,
actually had Buckethead. I saw Buckethead.
Yeah, they've done some.
Yeah.
But really, it's why is what's going on? A hotel or something?
They're just saying they can't afford the rent anymore. But somebody told me that the owner has actually already opened up a new club around the block, like Sony Hall or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there is a new venue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, but I heard about it.
So they're saying like, oh, they're just going to focus on that.
That wasn't a great place to see a show anyway. The sound sounded like shit there. Usually, sometimes they had tables on the dance floor.
Yeah,
there in the front, which is ridiculous.
It wasn't conducive to like aggressive music. It was conducive for like a jazz show or like a sit down gospel thing, which they do.
I'd go to like a punk rock show there, and then you go to the bathroom, and there's like a bathroom attendant. And that's just
tiniest bathroom,
it's
though, too.
So
there's
weird.
No
it's
room
just,
for the attendant and you by the sink.
Give that guy the night off when it's anti-flag headlining. That's just not the right.
I always feel so bad for that person because it's like this is their living. And like
he's not getting tipped at these shows.
Yeah. But it's like these people don't have the type of, you know, money to just be throwing around singles every time you hand them a paper towel.
Yeah.
And these are the type of people that don't even wash their hands.
That's
they
it.
They go right back out in the pit. They're like, I don't want to miss a song.
You're just encouraging people not to wash their hands.
I never do when I'm the bathroom attendant. Like, I don't feel like giving this guy money.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, one thing I read, there was a Reddit thread about like a bathroom attendant, and they were like, this particular person was like, I never expect money. It's my job to just hand you the paper towel. So it's like, if you don't give me money, I don't give a fuck. You don't have to make a big deal about it, but just don't be weird about it. So maybe they don't care that they don't get a dollar, but
I can't imagine. The tip jar away then. Stop intimidating me.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I think it's okay if you don't take the towel. If you don't refuse the towel or refuse service, it's okay. If you take the towel, you should give them a fucking
Hold on one second. How? If you don't take the towel, you have wet hands. You need a paper towel. It's not like there's an option to not.
There's no way for you to reach and take the towel is what I'm saying.
What if the paper towel is
like in a basket that they're holding.
Yeah, it's like behind the attendant.
He's running interference, so you have to
get
the towel?
Yes.
Yeah, he's always got the towel out as you're washing your hands.
Yeah,
so
he's
you don't even have a chance to go get it on your own.
Sometimes they have the soap, too. You can't even have the soap.
You know what? He's a working man. You know what I mean? He needs the dollar that bad. Give him a fucking dollar. You know what I mean? Be nice.
I am not calling out that guy. That guy's just trying to do his job.
Smelling people's shits and farts all
the
time.
Oh, my God. That poor guy.
That's
the worst job. I'm calling out the venue for even placing a person. Like, what? Why is this needed? For whom? It's such feels like such a weird old school thing, but that venue was the shit. Shits.
I think also, the purpose of having the bathroom attendant is that, like the bathroom is maintained. Like, if a toilet overflows or someone doesn't flush, like, they flush the toilet.
Or to avoid allowing people to go into the stalls and do cocaine or sex.
Do the sex.
But I went to see Buckethead, Buckethead was amazing. Absolutely recommend if you have a free night, Buckethead's coming to town. He's going to play for 2 hours. Blow your mind. The venue was awful, BB King. There's so many things wrong about it. A tap beer was $12. It wasn't even a pint glass. It was like a 12-ounce glass. And it was flat beer. So it's like, you're overcharging me for this beer. It could at least be a decent beer. No. Super hot. Like, there was air conditioning. Like, why? How do you have not have your air conditioning figured out? And just, I never liked the layout of it. It was a long layout. It was like a wide layout as opposed to a long layout.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wide stage. So you're always looking at a weird angle. And, ugh.
I don't mind that as much. Because somehow I feel like if I'm off to the side, I'm closer than if I'm further back.
Mm.
Even if it's the same actual distance, somehow it doesn't feel as far away to me. I don't mind the wide.
I was never crazy about the sound there, though.
Yeah, the sound,
always.
Always.
And they never crank it either. It's always really low, too. like they're going to, you know, offend some neighbors.
Yeah, yeah, the
like
Cold Stone
that.
Creamery next door might be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. they treat every show as if it's like a jazz night.
Yep.
They don't, like, adjust for the different audience or genre of music.
So someone brought that up to me. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is just really just a jazz club. Well, why are you booking metal? Like, don't book the metal show if you can't handle
it. Sometimes you just got to open nice in the schedule. You want to have a show.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. No.
Now good riddance, I say. Yeah. Good riddance. To celebrate venues closing, but I'm glad that one closed.
That's fair. Where are all the Three Dog Night cover bands going to play now, though? It's so sad. They're all out of work. They have no more ceilings to knock on three times.
It's all right. It's all right.
They can just play across the street in the Lion's Heart bar or wherever. Sometimes they have bands play on the street.
Is that a thing? I thought there was like a AMC movie theater across the street or something, or like an Old Navy.
Most here? Over there. In Bay Ridge?
Oh, you mean here? Oh, I thought you meant across the street from BB King.
Oh, no,
I'm all
no.
confused.
Here.
Some dude in NYC in the chat says, is it me or was the only good venue in New York City Roseland?
No.
It's bullshit that one closed and Terminal 5 exists.
The sound at Roseland was also almost always haunted.
Yes.
Yeah, Roseland wasn't a great venue either.
No.
It got good shows by default.
It got good shows because it was a good venue for like those in-between bands that couldn't quite fill an arena yet but could do like a 6,000-7,000 person.
Irving Plaza better than Roseland.
Yes.
Yeah. Irving Plaza, I think, is the...
Bowery Ballroom.
Bowery's pretty good, too. I like Irving because it's like the sound is most likely going to be good because it's a Live Nation venue. They have their shit together. The beer will be $12, but it'll be like fresh beer that they just brought in, at least. I like Irving. I like all the Live Nation venues, which is kind of
Webster Hall.
It's closed. It's AEG bought it, and now they're gonna
just win it.
I loved Webster Hall. Webster Hall is my favorite place because it was like the closest to an independent venue in terms of how it operated. What about you, Jim? What are your favorite spots to see shows?
Bowery Ballroom's not bad. They got that high stage, which is good. So you don't have to worry about a guy taller or a big head in front of you.
Sorry.
So you could say.
Robert Zemple.
I'm both.
Yeah.
No, Roseland I was never a big fan of. It was real flat and it was a small stage. It wasn't that high, so it was tough to see the band if you were in the back. Mm-hmm. I saw Rage Against the Machine there like three times. That was fucking insane.
Yeah.
The whole place. Like you had to go to inside the bathroom not to be in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's those shows where like the floor is shaking. Like you just feel it's like an earthquake.
Yeah.
I hate Terminal 5 is my least favorite venue. I will avoid shows there unless it's an absolute must have.
I left Mastodon because I ate a pot brownie and I didn't realize how strong it was going to be.
Definitely the fault of the venue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fuck you, Terminal 5.
The thing is that like they keep the venue so hot that I was so, because I was so stoned, it like amplified how like sweaty I was. And I was like, I need to leave.
Do you think that's a venue technique to get you to buy more overpriced water?
Yes.
Probably. And it's also, if you don't run the AC, that saves money on the electric bill.
Yeah, it might be illegal, though. I don't know.
I'm sure they know who to pay off. And it's somehow, like, the calculation works where it's cheaper to bribe the guy than to have the AC on. Probably.
Also, I haven't been to the new Starline. I heard that. It's been reopened for a while.
Starline? Oh, yeah. Starline because it got flooded, right?
It's not that much different.
Oh, yeah. It's not the same.
But, yeah.
They just took the mold out.
Yeah, basically.
I gotcha. Some people were telling me, I was like, oh, it's so great. It's like a totally different venue. I guess they were lying to me.
Yeah.
You know which venue I really like? It's on Long Island. It's like relatively new.
The Paramount?
The Paramount.
Yes.
That's a great venue. Just
it's a Long
have
Island.
You been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Oh, it's
most of the same bands will play Starland, so I'll see them there instead of Paramount.
Right. Yeah, that's when they avoid the major city show. They do the secondary market, so these would be Paramount and the Starland. Make a drive because I got a big tour in about 7 months that has a mile restriction. It's the business, folks.
Explain what a mile restriction is.
Well, when you have a big tour coming up and you're like opening for a band, they put restrictions on how close you can play to the city where the shows are within a certain time frame to avoid competition. Like people are like, oh, well, why do I have to go pay $60 to see Lamb of God open for Slayer when I can pay $40 to see Lamb of God headline 2 months earlier or something like that? So they want to avoid that.
So now what about if the show's already sold out? Can you then add whatever date you want around that because the show's already sold out, so it won't detract?
That's a good question. I guess that depends on how the contract is written, but I would assume that's possible.
Get your lawyer on.
You do see, that's why bands announce like secret shows the day of, because the show's already happening.
Yeah.
But I've never heard it like that, so I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. We'll have to talk to some booking agents.
Sure.
Got to be on the band segment guy.
Thank you. make note for next week.
Let's talk about some metal news.
On this show?
Well, rock news. So somebody died in Seattle, a woman named Susan, or Suzanne, actually. And in her will, she left the local alternative rock radio station, 90.3 KEXP, a $10 million donation. Because that's how much she liked her alternative rock radio.
Damn.
And the radio station manager obviously floored. And she said she was shocked and started crying. The thought that she would do this is mind-blowing to me.
How much money was it?
$10 million.
That's $1.75 million for every different song they play.
Does it count as a different song if it's still by Alice in Chains?
No.
Not. No. It's okay, though. You can play all the Alice in Chains.
That's a good repetitive
song.
Where my mind went to this immediately was like, hey, you couldn't give this like a charity or something?
Well,
you know, like
radio
there's so
stations
many...
are basically
giving to charity.
I wonder what they're going to do with that. Like, what could they possibly do with the money? Build a bigger station? They don't really need that,
right?
Mm-hmm. More advertising.
Hopefully, give their employees bonuses or
That's what they should do.
Yeah, like maybe she should have left it to the employees of the radio station. Not
basically, what's going to happen is like whoever owns that radio station, which is probably like a larger conglomerate, like. They're just going to pocket that
money. The new yacht for somebody.
Well, didn't the Post say something about they have like these different music programs and stuff that they run they're going to put it towards? Or was that a separate donation she also made?
Okay, so it says the bulk of the money will be stashed away in a long-time reserve to benefit local education programs based around music, services for emerging artists, and outreach activities. Okay, so I think that's a good way to spend the money. Give back to the community. I think that's okay. I take it back then. I take it back, Sid.
See what happens when you read the posts on Metal Injection, not just the headlines.
Weird.
There was actually a mistake in that story. She, at the end of her life, right on her deathbed, she changed her mind and changed it. She donated everything to Rollins Food Court.
Oh, no! Nice.
I don't even know. If someone donated $10 million to Metal Injection,
would
be the end of Metal Injection.
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right, well, that's it. That's a wrap.
Our plan backfired.
I mean, I guess it would be enough to like hire other people so I didn't have to do Metal Injection.
Well, you don't have to do it now.
It's my job. I wouldn't have a job. I'd have to get another job.
Yeah.
You know what you could do with it? You can hire like full-time employees to crack open sunflower seeds and feed you them.
No, I like cracking open my own sunflower seeds.
That's how he gets those callous hands that
you like. Yeah.
Look at these sunflower hands.
Look, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
At the end of the day, I got to eat some sunflower seeds. That's all.
So
there was that. Then the mayor of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Democrat Tim Keller, a noted metalhead. It's pretty cool. He's been coming out to metal shows and introducing bands before. Like he's not the type of metalhead that's like a in the closet metalhead. He's all about it, and he believes in the power of heavy metal, and he recently introduced Anthrax. I played this clip a little too early, but yeah, let's hear this.
My name is Tim Keller, and I am so happy to be your mayor. And I believe in the power of metal. On this very day, we were together. Just as we know when Anthrax was last year, we're wishing music. And tonight, that makes me so proud to be here again. Because we get to introduce a band that we all know, a band that in the 80s called Found Thrash Metal.
He's really found the key to political pandering. He's going after anthrax now. Big bump in the polls.
I'm into it.
Not as much of a popular.
All right, just put the fucking band on already. Fuck.
Some lady in the audience handed him a baby to kiss while he was doing that.
4 score 7 years ago, Anthrax wrote that song about The Stand by Stephen King. What is with Anthrax and, like, politicians pumping? Like, every time, there was that other one when they went to the Bronx.
Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, the Bronx Borough President came out. Like, oh, Anthrax will be playing at the great Yankee Stadium. They just went off for like a half a minute on the, or a half an hour on the fucking.
It was Anthrax Day in the Bronx.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just, it's not just Anthrax. He introduced Trivium a few weeks ago. This guy comes out to all
this guy.
This mayor, yeah, Tim Keller.
He just wants free tickets to shows.
Yeah. Is he a young guy?
Oh, relatively. Yeah, it looks like he's in his 30s or 40s.
That was a good intro.
Yeah.
You know how to
get
him going.
Right. Yeah. And I like that he's trying to, like, he's using it as a platform to get the youth to vote. Cause,
Because
apparently
all the kids are going to the Anthrax show in Albuquerque.
Sure.
It's all the 18-year-olds for the new voters.
Right after the Overkill concert.
Like, nothing wrong with those bands. You're just saying the kids aren't.
Oh
going.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
no. I
their
like
parents. Anthrax. Their parents bring them. Their parents bring them.
I have the same relationship with Anthrax that I have with Megadeth. Like, I love the music and the actual, like, every time they say something in the media, like, I tune right out. Like, they annoy the shit out of me. But the I can't. Like, it's not enough to turn me off the music that I grew up with. I still love.
Well, what did Anthrax say?
Wasn't he Scott Ian? Didn't he say some like weird like pro Trump shit or something? I can't
really.
You would know better than I would, but
what did
he say?
I don't remember.
I don't know if he was pro. He might have just been like, oh, we got to give him a chance. Might have been one of those.
Has Scott Ian been on The Apprentice? Is that what's going on? At the Trump connection from back in the day.
I'll look it up, but
okay.
No,
not that. I might be wrong.
Yeah, but no, this Tim Keller guy is a good dude. He's 40.
Okay.
And what's interesting is the guy who he replaced as mayor, he tried to shut down all ages shows in Albuquerque because he thought it was leading to like underage drinking and, you know, like all that conservative same thing about like why shows are bad. Whereas this guy was like, no, we need more shows. This is what gets kids off the streets and gets them, you know, like doing some cool stuff. And so I think that's pretty cool. So Tim Keller, you got my vote.
Thumbs up.
Can't vote for someone in Ohio.
Ohio?
You've got my endorsement.
Albuquerque, Ohio.
Yeah.
Albuquerque, Ohio.
In the great Yankee Stadium.
There's a really good write-up about him in the New York Times, and it's pretty cool. He cites the...
I started reading that, and I was like, I can't read all of this. Why are New York Times articles so long?
That's the same thing you did in class when they told you where Albuquerque was.
I can't remember this.
It's in New Mexico. I know where Albuquerque is.
I was just very excited that the New York Times article name dropped Ian Christie's book, Sound of the Beast, The Complete Headbanging History of Heavy Metal.
Oh, nice.
So that was very cool. Ian Christie deserves all the shout outs.
He's been on the
As
show.
Does Richard Christie.
Sure.
Spelled differently.
He's been on the show.
Doug Christie of the Sacramento Kings in the 90s. Does he get a shout out? He's a good all around glue guy kind of player.
Doesn't look like it, Sid.
What?
I'm
just thinking of other Christies.
Totally. Well, Chris Christie.
No, he does not get a shout out.
He'd be the first one I'd think of.
He's at the Fall concert. Chris Christie.
I remember he fell asleep at that Springsteen concert. I took a picture of him. Right, Roland, weren't you next to him? Oh, Roland took the picture.
Oh, my God.
Right. He took the pictures. Right, yeah, you caught some shit, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it like went viral, and like Roland had to like excommunicate himself.
Right, he knew it was you when you.
Oh my God.
And you were never allowed over the George Washington Bridge again.
But the Springsteen people, did they get annoyed? Like.
They thought it was funny. That's right.
Oh, they thought it was funny.
Yeah, he thought it was great.
Yeah, because he's Springsteen's definitely not a Christie fan.
Yeah, but after that, though,
right.
It ruined his relationship with Bruce.
Really?
That is amazing.
Yeah. So I got
why? Because Bruce was mad that Christie fell asleep?
Well, that was during Rocky Mountain, during his speech from the heart, like, helped, like he talked about hope, faith,
right.
Yeah. And he fell asleep. But then he had four press conferences for that one picture.
Really? Wow.
So, yeah, and then,
what an incident you created.
Good Morning America called me a Democratic radical.
What? Yeah. Wait, who did this?
Good Morning America.
Good Morning.
And then Brian Williams wanted me to be a guest, but I wasn't allowed to. Because he said, you're a Democrat, come out and face music. But I was so scared. Everybody was calling me a.
Roland's like,
I oh. never voted because I was a.
You're like
Stokely hungry.
Carmichael.
Are you registered as a Democrat?
No, I haven't registered.
You're not even registered to vote?
I don't do jury duty.
Yeah, so I don't do jury duty. Every time I move, I never do the change of address.
I see.
Wow. So that's why I go, I can't. I'm not registered to vote. I just thought it was hilarious. Just,
what an inspirational tale of a yeah. great American.
I took the picture 2 weeks later. It went global.
Like, and also, if you think about it, those four press conferences, think about all the taxpayer money.
Yeah, well, he that joker, I know where he's at. I know where he were. Like, oh, God. And then his wife came on to defend him on the second one and said, well, you were sleepy, honey. And that changed. So, yeah, I was scared.
Yeah, like, why is it your fault that you documented him falling asleep in a public place?
Yeah, well, because they say you're supposed to take flash pictures in this section because all celebrities – like Seinfeld was there and everybody.
So Mike Francesa there asleep?
Yeah. So I just took it and ran away and hit send. That was hilarious. Thought
yeah,
nothing
it
of it until 2 weeks later. I got like probably 50 text messages
yeah.
to wake up, turn on the news. And then at the time it was ONA, I turned on the news radio. They go, Roland's on the news. And then I started sweating nonstop for 3 weeks.
Just try to picture that fucking like concert and Bruce Springsteen is doing his spiel. Like, no,
yeah.
the hardworking people. And
yeah.
this fat fucking manatee snoring in the audience. Like,
yeah, because you know he didn't want Christy to have. He's like, all right, let me hook him up.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, he runs Jersey. He goes, but at least I want him to hear a speech. Maybe I can get through to him. And
yeah.
he's out cold.
Yeah, his reason was he closed his eyes, he feel the music.
Let's hear. I found the press conference where he talked he'd never fall asleep during.
It shows you like the level of intrusiveness now into my life.
Yeah, Roland.
I mean, some joker taking pictures of me at Madison Square Garden. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I was sitting there. Where's Deborah Gormiccioni?
He's just about to say the C word there, I think.
It's in the hallway. Where's Gormiccioni? Get over here. Come here. Get up here.
Jesus.
Come on, Deborah.
Real nice.
I don't want you to take my word for it. Deborah, get on up here. All the way up, Deborah.
Fuck up here, Deborah.
Where the hell's Deborah?
Now, Deborah and I were at the concert together at Madison Square Garden.
She is mortified.
Did at any time... This is you know...
And I was awake.
So we're used to doing this. At any time, Deborah, during the show, did I fall asleep?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Roland's having like a flashback.
What the fuck
right
is she going to say? Of course like what? Okay, this person, there's photographic evidence.
This person I just yelled and screamed at and berated to come up here so she doesn't lose her job. Did I fall asleep now? No, you didn't. Oh, great. See, there you go. Documented evidence. There's a picture of you sleeping.
Well done, Deborah. You know, what happened was during.
That's how I want my
Rocket
four
Ram,
steaks that I'm about
which is
to eat.
It's like kind of a really spiritual song. People sat. So I sat up on the seat and I put my head back and closed my eyes and listened to the song.
I demolished four rows of seats.
When I was like fist pumping during Badlands, nobody, you know, I'm glad no one took pictures of that. You know, when I was singing to Out in the Street, thankfully no one took pictures of that. When I was contorting myself during Because the Night, no one took pictures of that. I was sitting there listening to what is, and for those of you who haven't, if you don't have this disc, listen to Rocky Ground, very spiritual song.
I would get it. You know Bruce Springsteen songs. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Close my eyes and listen to the song. Now, what they're conflating, what the New York Post conflated was, earlier in the show, there's a song called Death of My Hometown, which is off the new disc. And Bruce did one of his little speeches.
This
beforehand.
Is more to like warm up
you know,
to Bruce,
like
not to like defend himself.
And 1% that I
what really know. Happened? I fell asleep during Camelot because the pit was very laid back.
Roland, I found the original tweet. You were going after.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
What did it say?
Yeah, he goes, Governor Christie really wants us to believe he wasn't sleeping. It was warm at MSG. Fat people get sleepy.
Plus, he was fist bumping.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
That made the cover of the London Times.
That's how I met Pierce Morgan, because he emailed me. I grabbed his email. That's how I booked him. Yeah. I didn't realize in the picture of Bruce, Chris Christie, and then my little head right above. They said the little Democrat. I'm like, oh. And I kind of tweeting, and I got a phone call from Buddy, who's an entertainment lawyer. He goes, stop. They're using everything you say. I learned after that, I shut down my Twitter.
Oh, you got a little media training.
Yeah.
Fucking Woodward and Roland.
But it's true. The fat people do get sleepy, though.
Did you get any shit from people at Sirius?
Yes.
Hey, I figured.
I walked in, and when they were high-fiving me, and then afterwards, I was like, we need to see you upstairs. Like, yeah, well, hey, guys, isn't it funny? Shut the door. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, no.
And then that's when the I was like, turn on the tears, like Costanza did. Like, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. But it's good for the show.
Right.
Yeah, no, I do. Cut off all social media for 6 months.
Well, here's the thing. You still have your job. Chris Christie no longer has his job, so you win.
Oh, yeah. Oh. He's a fat fuck.
There you go.
Don't kill me.
Christie claims he buys his tickets from Steven Van Zandt or Max Weinberg at face value.
Sure.
Max does those
tickets. Oh, that's true.
Because Max does. Yeah, but... like, you can ask Max for tickets, but you have to pay for it.
No, but Christie buying them, though.
Oh, yeah, oh. Yeah. Well, maybe he's buying them with, like, you know, taxpayer money.
Probably.
Jim, you kind of paid for a few bucks of that ticket. That
right, as long as Roland got that shot.
Yeah, it was worth it. We got some more calls. 213-WIDE-NUT, 213-943-3688. 847, you're on the live cast.
Yo, what's up, Leroy?
What's up, Leroy?
Oh, great.
Mitch, what's going on? I had a question for two that's not related to what you're talking about.
Cool. What's up?
I wanted to first ask Noah, actually, how much do you spend a month on your Brazilian jiu-jitsu hobby?
My membership is $220 for unlimited classes.
A year or a month?
A month.
Oh, wow.
Pretty pricey. But I do it. I don't go to the gym, so. And sometimes I'll spend more, like if I go and I do like a workshop somewhere, or if I go to like a different school, then it's like $10, $15.
Wow, so you're spending like $250 a month on this thing, huh? Right. I imagine it's just such a commitment.
Yeah, it helps me go.
Let me get this straight, Leroy. You're calling in to our show.
He still hasn't wished her a happy birthday.
To judge Noah on her birthday? And you don't even wish her a happy birthday, Leroy?
Happy birthday, Noah.
Okay. Continue judging.
Well, how often do you go? Like, how often a week?
Well, I would go maybe like 4 or 5 classes.
All right. So, yeah. I mean,
in the last month, I've tapered off because of my new gig. But ideally, yeah, as much as my body can handle.
So if you go 5 classes, $220, you're paying like $11 a class.
Yeah.
Over the course of a month. That's cheap.
Not bad.
Especially in New York, in this area, that's super cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like right by my job. So, I can make it work with my work schedule. And just like knowing that the more I go, the cheaper it is, makes me want to go more. Mm-hmm. So it's good for me.
It triggers your religious gene.
Yeah.
My Jewish gene. What you mean. Yeah.
Okay, Leroy, do you have another question?
Yeah, like, why are you asking?
Do I know how much it was?
The cable bill, I pull it out. Oh, my God, can you talk?
Leroy, let's go.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. You guys are like having a fucking conversation. Sorry.
I don't know.
I'm curious because I'm interested in doing something similar, not Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but wonderful exercise, but man, shit's so expensive to do something like that, and I don't know, I just feel like it's not worth it. That's a lot of money to spend on that.
For the whole month, just go take a class, see if you like it.
And then...
What are you trying to, you said it's not jiu-jitsu that you're thinking about doing, what is
it? Well, I'd like anything like a kickboxing class or like a kickboxing thing or something like that. Like, I've done YouTube videos, and that's free, but man, to like commit and go to a place and then that gym intimidation.
It sounds like you don't care enough about yourself to do something positive for your mind.
Yeah, it'll
body.
Feel good. It's a nice activity.
You might make some friends.
Mm-hmm.
I made a bunch of friends.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure your wife
friends
leave the house last.
Okay, that's cool. I have another question about Breaking Benjamin.
Okay.
All right.
Jim,
no.
This is more your avenue, not us. Kidding.
Yeah, I know a little about him.
Yeah, what's up?
Is this Google?
I just wondered if they're metal enough for your fan base, because I think they're pretty good, and they've been around for, like, ever, and they've been signed to a pretty E-list label, and, you know, they've had quite a career.
There's people in our audience that like anything. I mean, it's very, a lot of diversity.
We have some idiots who like Chris Stapleton, for God's sake. I mean, Breaking Benjamin, I'm sure there's some fans.
They'll jump on a tour with like some metal bands. I think they tour with like they're touring with somebody this year that's a metal band over the summer, and then
Five Finger.
Okay, yeah. So
questionably metal.
Right, but they could, you know,
more so than Breaking Benjamin.
I would think
they're hard rock, but also the thing with these bands is they need to be around. These are the bands that get kids that only have exposure to rock through the radio or whatever. To get into rock. Yeah, it's a gateway band. So I don't mind Breaking Benjamin. I never really got into them, but I'm not like offended by them like I am with some other more mainstream bands. We've been writing about their new singles here. We could play some of it.
Even like a band like Shinedown is doing shows with metal bands now,
yeah,
which was always more of like a radio band, but they're touring, I think, with like Godsmack or something like that. So
yeah,
this is the new Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah.
That's about trash.
This sounds like just a Tool track, but sped up right now so far.
Still kind of sounds like it.
A little bit.
Active rock. I mean, it's fine. It is what it is.
Like you said, if it gets younger generation to come out to shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. It's good for the music, and then they'll get into some heavier stuff, hopefully, or whatever. So,
yeah, and I think this is just like we talk about this all the time, how like there's just such a drive to like tear people down in metal. Like anyone with success, like, oh, they're done, they're over, we're not paying attention to them. Where it's like you should be rooting for people to have success, because that way more people get into the genre, and you know, rising tides lift all ships and all that stuff. That's another one of those sayings, right? It is what it is.
Well, look, at the end of the day, you know, it's good for everything.
Yeah. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
No, because if a band like that gets big, then there might be some. They'll bring like three opening bands that need that, that are going to get that exposure.
Right.
They're in front of 10,000 people, like, oh shit! Like when Ghost toured with Maiden, so most people never saw Ghost up till the summer.
Right.
And people are like, oh my God, that band was amazing.
Perfect
they never
example.
Saw him in a club before.
And that's the thing, yeah. So Ghost went from playing clubs with like 500 people. Touring with Iron Maiden, their next tour, the clubs are like 1,000, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
So it really helps you retain, even if you retain 5, 10% of that Iron Maiden audience, that's still bigger than any show you've ever played. You know? So, yeah.
The same thing as a comic, like when I would open for Dice or I'd open for Artie Lang, I'm trying to get some of that audience to come see me.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, the opening band. I'm like, cool, then maybe they'll come see when I'm in town.
Yeah, you want to get that rub.
Did that play out? Like, did you get bumps from doing it? Oh, sorry.
No, I did, yeah. Absolutely. But that's what most of the bands think like that, too, when the comics do, too.
Yeah. Right. Who do you give your rub to? Who are you rubbing out?
You, if he asks nicely.
Out of the band. All right, let's take some more calls. We got area. Thank you, Leroy. That was a good question. Area code 601.
Back to Mississippi.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Will in Mississippi, man.
Will in Mississippi. We got a big Mississippi contingent here tonight.
First of all, I wanted to wish Noah happy birthday.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, you're doing better than Leroy.
Yeah. And we talked to you guys about something. There's something that means the hell out of me. You guys have touched on a little bit on the show, but these motherfucking flat earth people and these people don't live down to this. I kind of knew about it, but I didn't know it was such a big thing. And I've literally been losing sleep, like having nightmares arguing with these people. It's annoying the shit out of me.
Wait, what?
I'm
so
All right. I heard he's around a lot of flat earth people.
Oh.
And they're annoyed.
Yeah.
I didn't get the last part.
He's losing sleep.
I losing sleep just thinking about arguing with these people. And you got to think, is valid for me to be this annoyed by this, or should I just kind of just ignore it? Or
well, it depends. I mean, like, where are you encountering them that they're driving you crazy like this?
I didn't realize it's such a big epidemic. I can't just look into it. I'm just seeing countless videos of people on Facebook.
Avoid any arguments on social media. It never goes anywhere. You're just kind of talking back and forth, and no one. I've never seen an internet argument like, oh, you know what? You're right.
And if someone has decided that the Earth is flat, there is nothing you can tell them. They've already gone against so much evidence. There's nothing you can show them or say to them that will change their mind. So,
well,
very true. I live around a lot of religious people, and they try to justify it through the Bible. Well, the Bible says the Earth is flat, so it must be true.
I'm not saying
they got way more problems than just the Earth is flat. And I'm not saying it's worth it to do that, but I think a lot of people who think that stuff like that are just not good information or critical thinking. That's why they think that shit.
Elementary school, there's no like class that tells you the Earth is flat, so you're taught it from like the jump. And if you still are like, no, I think it's actually flat, then
if you turn on an entire life of education after watching like a YouTube video, you know what? How much savings? Now, Jim, you're being a little quiet. Do you happen to think the Earth is flat?
I'm ready to throw my globe out now.
And like, what is some of the arguments are like, oh, if you look at a plane, it's not a plane, like an airplane, like the plane, like the horizon, it's straight, it's flat.
Or if you go up high enough that you cannot see the curvature of the Earth.
Right. So that's it.
It's a dome.
Which isn't true. You can see, if you go to the top of the Empire State, you can see the Earth being slightly curved.
Yeah. You could see it when you drive past the Verrazano Bridge, because the Verrazano Bridge is on a curve.
It's built to accommodate the
curve.
Curve.
Yeah, because it's one of the longest bridges in the world.
Also, anyone ever fallen off the side? Wouldn't that happen sometimes?
Well, yeah, where is the edge of the Earth?
Yeah.
Covering it up, Sid.
Yeah. We never hear
that. I think it's an arc or some shit, like Oswald or something down there that the government won't let you go to.
Well, you're in the... The Earth is a... Droid here, so don't not worry.
You know what? Next time you counter one of these people, be like, listen, I need you to do me a favor. Call in the Metal Injection live cast and let us talk to them. We'll straighten them out. No pun intended.
All right, that works. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for your call.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Oh, good.
There we go. Earth is not flat, people. What's not? It's just I feel like nowadays people just are bored and like, let me start a new conspiracy. And like, if you come up with enough reasons for why your conspiracy could be true, people are like, well, there's who's to say? To say? Well, we should hear all opinions.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's just like people want to have an interesting thing about them. So that's like the interesting thing about these people.
Being
like,
a total idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better than nothing for some of these folks. Like I'm one of those people that thinks the Earth is flat. That's my interesting thing.
That flat Earth thing's been around a while, though. Yeah. That's not one of those like Facebook. That shit's been like a good 75 to 100 years.
I feel like in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a big research.
Like celebrities coming out saying it.
Yeah, that was a Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving,
basketball player. Yeah, so
he's recruiting other basketball players. I saw like.
Like Shaq was kind of advocating for him, I remember. And it was like, come on, Shaq.
I think Shaq was just fucking around. But then again, Kyrie Irving might just be fucking around too. You never know like if they're just trolling or
that's
what.
The other thing. I feel like some of these more prominent people are trolling, but the less educated don't pick up on the trolling.
Yeah, here's Shaq talking about it. Maybe. Oh, no.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Ugh. Come on.
Ed?
No, it's just some guy talking about
it. Here's him on Kimmel.
I don't know why. I have this urge, like, I would one day like to wrestle you. Like, for real. Like, you and I.
Me too.
We'll just get in and wrestle.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Next time I come.
Okay.
You have a tub of Jell-O there, and we'll Jell-O.
Oh, we'll Jell-O.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the flat earth stuff, please. YouTube. How long is this segment? Like 19 minutes?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it? Of course it was.
When I heard you say that, people were getting all excited. Yeah, like, there's no way that he wasn't joking in this situation.
They got upset. And my theory is, I bought a bus a couple of summers ago.
Uh-huh.
So when I drive from Florida to California, it seems flat to me.
I see. Okay.
So you ever been in a flight, you get ready to land, and you pull up the window, and you look?
Yeah.
It seems flat, right?
Well.
So that was my theory. I'm just joking.
No, he's just joking. We'll accept it. We got another call, 213-WIDE-NUT, 213-943-3688. Got a blocked number here.
Uh-oh.
Being protective. If you're calling into the show, say hello.
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hello?
Hi there.
Dilly Dilly.
Dilly Dilly. Who is this? Where are you from?
Where's the beef?
I'm from the medieval times.
You're from the medieval times? Wow. What's your
name? Oh, I walked by there trying to get to the bus. It smelled like horse doo-doo.
Wouldn't someone from medieval times be, like, afraid of a phone, afraid to touch a phone because of, like, witchcraft?
Oh, no. To...
Okay. Where are you going with this bit? Let's just
Dilly Dilly.
Okay. I think that's enough.
All right. Thank you for your call, Dilly.
My name's not Dilly. My name is Billy.
We need a
Billy Dilly.
We need a screener on this show.
It's a Biddy.
Do you have something to say other than that?
Dilly Dilly.
Okay, bye.
You gave him way too many chances.
Yeah, I gave him way too many chances. I guess I'm a nice
guy.
For
fuck's sake.
Did I mention this on the show, how, like, if I stay at my dad's house, I have to take a bus into work, and he lives in New Jersey. And, like, I Google mapped where the bus stop is, and I was like, oh, it's like a 15-minute walk. Nice outside, no big deal. What I didn't realize is that, like, New Jersey has no sidewalks. Mm. So I was, like, walking, like, in traffic, like, in between, like, trucks and trailers.
God. You're like one of those hobo people that you see walking around.
And I mean, I had like my book bag and everything. So I really did look like a bum trying to get to the bus stop. And like along the way, there's the medieval times in Lyndhurst. So I'm walking by the medieval times. It smells like shit. And it was like the worst. Like I got to the bus stop and I was like covered in like car fumes and like just like pollution, like soot. There's like soot on my face.
Ew. They still let you on the bus though?
Yes, right. And then that was a whole thing because I have like a book bag, and because it's the last stop in New Jersey, it was standing room only, and I had to get to work. So I felt like Larry David in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, just like book bagging someone, and I'm holding my purse, and some lady's like pushing it off of her, and I'm like, I can't take it off because the bus is moving. It was like, I don't understand why there are no sidewalks in New Jersey. It's just like,
Do people drive other people to the bus stop?
Yeah,
like a parking lot.
So if you're taking a bus somewhere, it means, no, there was no parking lot.
Hmm.
It was just a hotel parking lot, and there was like a restaurant parking lot. There was no dedicated parking lot for the bus stop for New Jersey Transit.
Jim is our New Jersey representative. Do you have any comments?
No. No, there's a bus stop about a half mile from my house, and there's a sidewalk for like maybe 200 yards, and the rest you got to walk on the road if I want to take the bus.
There's only sidewalks to walk people from their door to their driveway. Those are the sidewalks in New Jersey.
It's just New Jersey.
Yeah. Unless you're like in the middle of a neighborhood. But it is. So that's why everyone drives.
Yeah. It's like they're encouraging you to drive. Like, no, seriously, you don't want to walk here.
You just have your dad drop you at the bus stop.
He did, but this particular morning he couldn't.
If you walk down the street, you might trip over Joe Piscopo. That's not Rest in peace. Sorry.
Is he dead?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't he like running for governor or something?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Sounds... I guess it didn't work out. You have any pictures of Joe Piscopo sleeping, Roland?
No.
Damn it. Get that ready.
I remember he came to Sirius and he was like dressed up in a suit and everything. You remember that?
What was he?
Yeah, he said like, you know, he has this whole like Frank Sinatra thing going on.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember we were on Opie and Anthony one morning and we were making fun of his Showtime special. And we felt bad because we were comics and we really shouldn't. But it was just so bad that we're just And then he wound up coming in, and we're like, oh, shit, now he's coming in. He's such a nice guy. And he's like, yeah, I get why, you know. And we're like, oh, man, we felt so bad doing that. Because it got back to him right away. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, no, I understand. You know, I'm an old-time guy, and, like, you guys, you just want to make fun of
me. Yeah, we're like, look, man, we got to kill 4 hours. We're just busting balls, you know. But
it was really great.
What's that?
Oh, my God, we can call just. I don't know if that's legal.
We should have called. Make it extra awkward.
Oh,
he'd probably be really nice, and then we'd feel bad about
yeah,
it.
that happened to us with Andrew WK.
Oh God,
we
yeah.
Well, it was a little different. We kind of called him out for
taping a TV show at Santos
yeah.
while
he
the
had,
show was happening.
Yeah. He had a venue in Lower Manhattan that he did he own it?
He was
co-owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Santos.
And me and Rob went to a show there. Of a completely unrelated band to Andrew WK. And I guess this he had like some TV show at this point on Fuse, if you remember Fuse. And so he was like filming segments for it during like the opening act, like in the back of the venue. So like it was half the audience was like looking at why there was a camera crew. So people were paying attention to the band. And we came on our podcast like the next day.
Well, then we watched the segment on Fuse. So then he taped something for the opening band and then left. We didn't see
yeah.
him the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And then we watched a segment on Fuse, and the segment is about how he went to see Quicksand. And like,
I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we were calling him out about, how he went to see Quicksand and how they were fun, and they showed the B-roll of him dancing in the crowd for the opening band. And we were like, Andrew WK is a liar. He is a liar. We're calling him out for it. Yeah. And it got back to him that we did it. And then the next week, he actually came on and apologized.
Yeah.
Totally owned up to it, and then ended up being one of our all-time favorite
guests. Yeah, we've had him
guests.
Back on the show a few times.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, like he gave it to us from his perspective, which you know, like then we were able to like feel empathy. He's like, yeah, it was just as uncomfortable for me as it was
yeah.
for everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
I had to get it done.
So maybe Joe Piscopo has some reasoning why he did that horrible special. Then he's doing like an Andy
yeah,
Kaufman
money.
Thing.
Didn't he like have an affair with his babysitter and his
oh,
wife
yeah.
divorced him, so he probably mm-hmm. needed money?
That alimony,
yeah. Money,
well,
tough life.
Dusty Rhodes Forehead in the chat.
Wow, oh, my God.
He has a good question. What do you guys think about the Apu controversy? And so if you're not up on it, there's a documentary out now, The Problem with Apu, I believe it's called.
Right.
And it's it interviews all of these East Asian people about how their life, or particularly Indian people, I believe, about how like their life growing up was really uncomfortable because most people's only reference to Indian people was Apu. And like people would be like, oh, so do the voice, you know, and the voice was, they felt
just
like a misrepresentation. Yeah, stereotypical. And there was some discussion about how it was offensive that the character was portrayed by a white man, Hank Azaria.
But that is not, there's a new thing now because The Simpsons did an episode where they addressed this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they basically said, get over it. They basically said, like,
it wasn't offensive back in the day. It's offensive
right.
now. What are you going to do?
Right.
That was
exactly.
What are you going to do? Another.
I think that isn't that like an actual quote.
So we could pull.
Yeah. Well, Lisa was talking to Marge and she just says, yeah, something that was inoffensive and very popular 20 years ago is it's considered politically incorrect now. What do you do? And then Marge says, yeah, just get over it or something. And she looks over
here's the exact quote.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do? And then Marge responds, some things will be dealt with at a later date. And then Lisa goes, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Just that patented hilarious Simpsons dialogue right there.
Yeah. So as a comic, who I'm sure has been accused of certain politically incorrect things and offending Indians worldwide. No.
How dare you? He has a clean history.
No. I'm just curious what your take is. I was
well,
trying to
first of all, a cartoon, you can get away with a lot more. You
right.
know what I mean? In a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, well, you know, same with South Park. They've been going away for, you know, which
of course.
Years. Look, you never know. Like week to week, something else is offensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, so BuzzFeed comes out with a new article that this word's not supposed to be used anymore. It's like, oh, so is that what I'm supposed to
yeah.
write my jokes around?
Yeah.
Know, because somebody, a writer at BuzzFeed decided that you can't say this word anymore. So the crowds really aren't uptight. You would think they are. Mm-hmm. Like you would think that all the media, you know, saying all the shit that you can't do this. I've talked to the comedy club owners too out there, and they go, there's no more people walking out.
Yeah.
People aren't getting more offended if anyone does anything. I think people actually want to come to a club and just laugh, and they don't give a shit about that. That's more the media just telling everyone, trying to tell everybody what to do.
Right, like a few people on Twitter are upset, and suddenly it's like everybody's upset.
Yeah, it's not happening at all.
Yeah.
Bill Maher is complaining about this every week on his show, and it's like such a straw man, because I think he sees three tweets and he thinks like this is what culture is now because of the damn millennials. But really, I don't think it's not.
Even the millennials that come out to the shows, they're laughing, they're having a good time. You know, L.A. was always like an uptight, conservative, like, you know, tight crowd where if you had a little edge, they would hate you because like, whoa, but they're totally on board. Everywhere I go, I've never had a problem. And I talk to a lot of comics. No one's going, you know, people walked out because I said the word tranny instead of transgender. None of that's going on. Mm-hmm. So
I've always thought also if you like being offensive is acceptable if you're fucking funny, like if you can make it work. Like, I think everyone, like most people will appreciate like a little like racial humor, you know what I mean? But as long as it's not done maliciously and like, you know what I mean? Like if you're funny and you put some kind of like, I can listen to Gilbert Gottfried do fucking like Chinese jokes all day long. Like it's hilarious because he's so talented, you know, but if you're a hack, I feel like then it can diminish it too. And that could be like people.
But could a Chinese person listen to Gilbert Gottfried doing Chinese jokes all day?
Good question, because, all right, I'm Jewish. I could deal with
I could listen to, Jew jokes all day.
No, not a problem.
Unless
at
they're
all.
Coming from, like, you know, Richard Spencer, then I'm kind of like, not cool with it.
That might be a bad example of Gilbert Gottfried, because he's Jewish, so he might have a license to say that.
Like Ricky Gervais' special came out. He did a whole bit on Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, yeah, humanity.
You know, he got a little shit for it. He's like, whatever. No one's canceling on Netflix. No one's protesting any of his shows. It's just, it's 300 people on social media bitching that's offensive. And how could he say that? And there's kids that have...
And then the blogs need something to write about. So they write like these people are offended, and then it's like
that's
snowball
click.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's snowball for everyone's talking about.
And he's not drawing. He's drawing more people. No, he's not drawing any less people when he does a show because all of a sudden
he's like making so much dough. Like he's fine.
And he's it's great. And no one's really. But you know, when you do a comedy special on Netflix, all of a sudden you're opening yourself to a whole audience that wouldn't necessarily see a stand-up. It used to be on HBO or Comedy Central, so you went there. For a stand-up special on Comedy Central HBO, but now you're on Netflix where everybody has it, so people are seeing this comedy like, oh my god, they don't live in that world,
right?
Yeah,
where comics are up there trying to push boundaries and push the limit, and like, whoa, I don't like this at all.
Yeah,
you know, they tune in like, what, you know, and Netflix totally didn't. They were trying to do so. I know what's his face? Who's the other comic?
Dave Chappelle.
No, he's from L.A. Why am I forgetting his name?
What did he do there?
There was a joke that he said, a retard in his joke, and it was like a petition of like 100,000 people.
Was it Anthony Jeselnik?
No, it was, why am I forgetting his name?
What does he look like?
He's a little bald. Tom Segura.
Oh.
He was just talking about Joe Rogan's podcast where he said a joke with retard in it, and there was like 100,000 people had a petition to get him like off of Netflix or get that edited out. I think it was in his trailer too.
Oh, weird.
And Netflix just blew it off. They didn't even acknowledge
it. Yeah, they don't care. I mean,
but he said he was on like local news. They were like, hey, there's a comedian on Netflix. And he goes, and I'm selling more tickets now, like more people.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think that's a lot of publicity for him. All these news stations talking about this.
Yeah, and everybody's like, to go, I got to see this guy, Tom Segura. He goes, I got so much, messages like, dude, I never heard of you. You're really funny. I'm going to come see you. I see you coming to Columbus or whatever.
It's like when they tried to like censor rap, like all those rap musicians became the most popular things ever.
Or even like metal in the 80s.
Right.
Sister and all
that.
Netflix subscribers saw Humanity.
Oh, wow.
It's the biggest comedy special of all time. Most views ever. Wow. Gervais is 46% of people that have Netflix watched that special.
Oh, because of the controversy. That's
crazy. No, well, just
all the publicity.
Because he's worldwide. He's so big.
Right. Oh, okay. That's true.
And he takes so many chances. A great special.
So
he doesn't give a shit, which I love.
Yeah.
It's just basically him pointing out like what's wrong with people today. And just like, you know, he talks about like animal abuse and like all these topics, but it's like, it doesn't feel like stand up. It just feels like him talking and making social commentary, and it's great.
In his new tour, Supernature, about science and religion, about he wants to debunk everything. That's the next story.
Is he a flat earther?
No.
Okay.
Go call him cunt.
Well, but like with the Sapu controversy specifically, you know, I completely understand where these people are coming from. Like, I'm sure it would really suck to grow up as like the one Indian dude in your school where the only reference to your culture is this stereotypical character. Not to say that they wrote Apu maliciously.
I feel like even Apu was like an upstanding, like good person.
Yeah, he was a lovable character. Yeah,
but then he did work at like a 7-Eleven though.
Right. But well, he was the owner of it.
Yeah.
I mean, is that,
I guess, but still.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a stereotypical character, but it's also a character that has some depth to it. It's like, not like a mean.
He wasn't like
character.
The village idiot or anything.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's. I mean,
they tried to get his citizenship. You remember that episode?
Yeah, it was a lovely episode.
I think both sides have a point. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's fair for an Indian person to go.
Right.
You know, I don't want the only Indian person on TV to be a fucking, you know, the Quickie Mart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, what do you like? How do you deal with that? Like, I mean, the Simpsons are in a pretty tough spot here.
Right.
I feel
totally. I totally agree.
I feel like the only thing would be to just not have a poo on new episodes, right? Like that would be a
or
compromise.
Maybe he gets a different job. His accent is a little bit less. I mean, he's lived in this country how long now? You'd think the accent would have come
my
down a bit.
Dad's lived in this country for like almost 30 years, and he still has an accent.
Yeah,
but have the Simpsons really lived?
Well,
there?
He's from Jersey. That's why. I got the same accent.
Uncle's Joe Piscopo. No, but I mean, like the Simpsons don't age, so like they're really in the same spot that they were when the show debuted, more or less, right? I mean,
Except
the graphics got much better.
No, I mean it's always in the modern time. It's taking like they have iPod, like
that's
it's taking place today. It always takes place today. Mm-hmm. But their ages are the same.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take some voicemails. We have a few voicemails. We got one from Ross.
Hi, Livecast. It's Ross. It's been a while since I left a voicemail. And so I just want to say, Rob, congratulations on Babka. She's fucking adorable.
Thank you.
Noah, congratulations on your new job. Big ups. Darren, congratulations on your new front tooth. That's awesome.
That's a while ago.
And Sid, congratulations. I love you.
Aww.
I guess.
All right. I'll take it.
Sure. Also, I want to give a shout out to Levi for giving me the motivation to start eating better and exercising. Thanks, dude. You're the man. And I want to hear Shea Podorinsky. So without further ado, hit it, Steve.
Really? We'll do it at the end of the show.
Yeah, we can play it out.
And then we got one from Jonathan.
Hey, Livecast crew. Hey, it's Jonathan from Texas. Just wanted to drop you a quick message and wish Noah a very happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your day and have a really great one. And a question for Rob. On the last episode before your guys' epic tangent on wrestling and MMA, you were about to say there was some backlash against Ghost. I was curious what that was about. I'm guessing it was due to all the issues with the, you know, Papa Emeritus, sorry, however the right way is to say it, and what went down with him and I guess his former bandmates at this point. Anyway, just curious. But thanks for all you guys do. Keep it up. Take care.
Yeah, well, there before that issue with the legal stuff, the thing was that people were just saying that Ghost isn't a metal band. Like, that's kind of their big criticism, that metal sites shouldn't cover this like quote unquote folk band, which I'm they're really dark. They cover dark themes, they cover Satanism. It's great. It's very metal. I mean, it's just, I think because the vocals are more accessible, more like hard rock, that people just don't think it's metal, but I think it's metal. And then with the legal stuff, I think because of the mystique and all of these musicians saying that they contributed to the creation of the songs and they didn't get the proper funding back or whatever, that people had a bad taste in their mouth about Ghost. But when they put out this new song, it seems like they're doing as good as ever. Like, people are there as big. I can tell you just from the traffic for the new music that we've gotten for Metal Injection, that they're as popular, if not more popular than ever.
They picked, like this, we said before, they picked up a lot of fans in that Maiden tour.
Yeah.
I never heard of them or kind of heard of them. Like, these guys are good because they were great. I saw them. The tour a couple times with them and they were great. So
And the good thing about them, I think, is that because they don't have as much of an aggressive edge, they can draw in a wider crowd into metal, like people that wouldn't necessarily listen to metal, people from like people that read Pitchfork, for example, or whatever. They would be drawn to it, and they might get into some more metal bands. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We need to expand the culture, the metal culture. So I hope that answers your question, Jonathan. Also, somebody in the chat wanted us to talk about Bruno Sammartino.
No.
Bruno Sammartino was the Hulk Hogan of his time in professional wrestling. He died this week. Let's see, how old was he?
82.
Oh.
Oh, wow. You were Johnny on the spot with that.
I didn't realize you were a big Bruno guy.
Yeah, well, he was a good guy, like more to bad guys, but you had to respect Bruno.
Mm. Were you more of an Ivan Koloff kind of guy?
Superstar Billy Graham.
Oh, Superstar Billy Graham, of course.
Yeah, Koloff, all the bad guys.
Yeah. Superstar Billy Graham, I was watching WWE Network and like his promo, like he would be huge today. Like, it's
well,
timeless.
Hulk Hogan took his whole act.
Basically. Yeah.
Hulk even admits that he did, like his whole persona. But I guess back in the day with Bruno Sammartino, he was a champ for so long because of Madison Square Garden to fill out every month those matches. It was all Italian in New York, and all the Italians love Sammartino.
Yeah.
So they knew they had to keep him a champ or that place would be empty.
Right, right.
That was the theory behind it. And then when he lost the belt, Superstar actually held that crowd. Like, you know, like he had it for like a year or whatever.
After, yeah.
Because Sammartino said, I don't want to wrestle anymore. So,
I'm
giving up the belt.
Yeah.
But then
he
when
moved
they
a little down the card, like an attraction.
Yeah. They just realized, but everyone hated Superstar. So, but he was so colorful and stuff that he still drew a crowd.
Yeah.
And then when they gave it to Bob Backlund, they completely just, you know, they were drawing like 7,000 people at the Garden because he was so boring.
Yeah,
just a boring champ. Yeah, bland.
Yeah.
They thought that was gonna, he was going to be fine to fill in for Bruno. But that's why Bruno held the belt for so long.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd have just found some other guy and given him an Italian last name.
I think they tried with a couple guys,
oh, really?
But it wasn't working. Everyone loved Bruno, you know.
All right, fair.
Do you remember who these guys were? Who were these fake Italians? I'm trying to think. I can't remember any other.
Well, they tried to do it. Wasn't like Larry Zbysko was like his cousin.
Oh, that's right. The
or
living legend.
Or something
like
that. Some shit they tried to do.
Yeah,
that.
They tried, and then they tried to feud them against each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zbysko was a great wrestler, though. He was really good heel. But yeah.
King of stalling is Larry Zbysko.
Really?
Yeah. If you like the first 15 minutes of him walking around the ring, not trying that.
I loved his promos, though. He just had that like smart guy, like condescension. It was so perfect. I was a big fan.
Maybe the caller knows other characters.
We have a this is a weird area code. I don't recognize it. Hello.
Hello there. This is Bruno Sammartino calling from the first day in hell. I want to say hello, Noah. I want to wish you a very happy birthday. Finally, you get to hear something come out of somebody named Bruno that is in a swamp as dog fart. So you may enjoy that.
My dog Bruno. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's your
thank
dog
you.
Bruno.
Yeah.
Did you
let me tell you something. If you were in the WWF when I was around, Moolah would have put your ass right to work. She would have had you spread eagle at the gorilla position with Leilani Kai sucking off Corporal Kirchner, let me tell you.
Oh, rest in peace, Corporal Kirchner.
Sir, can you turn your radio down? Bruno, you know, I don't know if you know. I mean, maybe because you're in hell, it messed you up. It was WWWF. There wasn't six W's on it, but maybe
I was around a long time. I took a couple of shots to the head. I got to apologize to you.
All right. You didn't lose your accent, though.
Bruno, my accent is hell for everybody else. I ran into Joe Piscopo down here, by the way. Remember him?
Tell him I like the Showtime special. I was just joking.
You know what I don't like? I don't like how they actually have hot broads in wrestling now. What's that about? Holy mackerel. When I was in wrestling, all the women looked like the leftovers at a bar in Teaneck, New Jersey at 2 a.m. Holy shit. You ever see Leilani Kai? Hot damn. Looked like she got hit with a frying pan. You could see the crust on her trunks.
Why, you didn't think Fabulous Moolah was hot, Bruno?
You never stuck it to Moolah?
Velvet McIntyre. Oh, my God. Well, I gotta go. I have to do 400,000 laps in Satan's Olympic-sized shit pool with Blackjack Lanza. I'll talk to you later.
Blackjack Lanza. Is Blackjack Mulligan with him, too?
He made it to heaven. All right. Thank you, Bruno. Wow. Bruno from beyond the grave. What a
What a also, treat. My dog Bruno is like, why is everybody saying my name? Like, woke up from his
really
nap.
Bruno sounded like he might have went to Grand Prospect Hall once or twice.
Probably.
He probably knew that guy.
Did some house shows there back in the day.
I remember Darren and I went to a wrestling show about 10 years ago.
Oh,
and
God, I'm embarrassed.
they brought out Bruno Sammartino to pay tribute to him. And it was so weird because the wrestling that they were doing is like very high octane. Like they're doing like crazy stunts, like everything that Bruno was against and would shit on for 10 years, like wrestling today. It's not like it was, you know, back when it was grappling and whatever. And so they brought in this guy. And I remember like everyone in the crowd was like Darren and I were being so obnoxious that Noah had to shush us. It was like, please stop. That's my Bruno. That's how I choose to remember
well,
Bruno.
It was so pandering. I mean, it was just like, what, he didn't really even say anything. He was on the mic for like 10 minutes and he was just like, you know, wrestling is not the same as it used to be, but it was like, all right, we get it. All right. You're an old timer, but they just kept, he took up like 3 matches worth of time talking, cutting this promo.
Yeah. Well, they weren't that athletic back then.
Right.
It was more like an arm bar and throw him across the ropes and maybe jump off the ropes, but that was basically it. Yeah, Sammartino was always called that McMahon because they had a fallen out for a while over the steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, everyone's taking steroids in the WWF. And
And that was the big deal why he was like so revered in Ring of Honor, because everyone hates the WWE now.
Yeah, yeah.
All these indie shows. So because he hates them too. He's like the hero.
Here's a little bit of a speech.
Oh, it's
I didn't exactly climb through the ring.
Can you hear us?
I weighed in with other wrestlers, I was 275 pounds. I'm down to 2 feet, which is one difference.
Good for you.
I'm 71 years old.
All right, we get it. Well, thank you, Bruno.
Rob and I went to see a independent wrestling show yesterday in Williamsburg.
Yeah, at a church. The First Lady of Guadalupe.
And Andy from Every Time I Die was wrestling.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the guitarist of Every Time I Die.
We had him on
really
the show before talking about his wrestling, right?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
All right. Yeah
he was fun.
He was, it was a tag team match, and he won. Like, does he have, a belt now?
No, it was a non-title performance. It was pretty, I haven't gone to a high school show in a while, and you kind of really see the lack of quality. Like, this is a much rougher around the edges wrestling. And
One of the rougher edge was actually the ring looked like it was about to collapse
on itself. Yeah. That was so, that honestly kept my attention the entire night.
Yeah.
It was like
somebody might die.
Just, the ring is going to cave in. Cause it looked like the turnbuckles were like leaning in like the Tower of Pisa, onto each other. And it looked like it was just going to and there were really heavy wrestlers. Like there was a match with a 400 pounder versus a 350 pounder. And every time there would be like a slam, you would kind of see the turnbuckles shake and like all the ropes shake. It was the most exciting shitty high school gym wrestling event just for that reason.
Did they have one of those washed up guys like show up and sign autographs and everything? Because they usually do that.
There wasn't that much pandering, but Mikey Whipwreck was there. He was ref. But he wasn't doing the $20 pandering. There were merch tables. They were being
it was so fun. It was so entertaining. I'm showing him this.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the 400 pound guy that almost broke the ring. No, that's not.
He's dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I know. I told this on the air before, but I went to that was the same organization that we saw.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And in the same church, and Greg the Hammer Valentine, Brutus Beefcake were both there. So I'm with my wife, and my wife says, we should go down and, you know, whatever, go to the autograph table. Okay, fine. So, and she's shy. So I go up and I approach. And I'm like, hey, my wife wants to take a picture and get your autograph. So Greg Hammer Valentine goes, oh, okay, sure. But it's $10. Is that okay? Like, they actually made the poor guy, go up and ask for the, you know what I mean? Like, I felt so bad. I didn't have a manager there or something. So I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Sure, no problem. And then she says, no, I want to get Beefcake in the picture. She says, so another $10. Is that okay? Like, I felt so bad asking the guy. Why they make the guy ask?
Yeah, Jimmy Hart should be there.
Like, he's a big star in my mind. Like, I know he's washed up now. And
I'll tell you why they make the guy ask, because he's the one pocketing all the money. If he has to have somebody else there, he has to pay that.
That's I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, the event could put someone there to do
that. Or, like, a sign on the table that just
right,
says
that's true.
Yeah.
$10. It's really so bad. Like, I don't care what the fucking money is. $20.
There was one guy yesterday, the one that had like drunk tattooed on his stomach. Like, what's his real name?
I don't remember.
Rob,
so, don't you write a dirt sheet about all these?
Yeah.
Feds? Well, the other thing about this, there was like no program. The PA was barely audible, so like I didn't even know these wrestlers' names. A little tip for independent wrestlers: if you're not very well known, it pays huge dividends to have your name on your trunks.
Oh, yeah. I went on like a whole like Instagram rabbit hole with him this morning. He's a fucking scary guy.
There was one guy that looked like he just came out of Duff's.
Oh yeah, his name is Schlack.
Schlack,
oh my God.
This guy.
Wow.
He has like a tattoo on his head.
So he has multiple tattoos on his face.
He's no Bam Bam Bigelow.
But my favorite tattoo is he has like a Tupac style above the belly button tattoo. Mm-hmm. It just says drunk.
It's like what's his
commitment
face from our pal from Black Dahlia Murder, doesn't he?
Oh, he has heartburn.
Yeah,
but that's his only tattoo, or like he only has a few tattoos. Right. This guy is like covered up, and then the drunk. So I tried to get a drunk chant going.
So I went on the rabbit hole, and like this guy, I guess, was like hardcore wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is ultra violent.
So gross.
Damn.
Yeah.
Scary.
So.
And then there's like a picture of him driving with like his glasses, and he just looks like a really nice guy. And then like
with a tattoo
on his face. Covered in blood.
Yeah, I got a 7-year-old son, so I take him to these independent matches in Jersey. There's a place around the corner.
Yeah.
So we go every few months, and we get the front row. It's $25 for VIP front row.
Yeah.
We pay $25, and my son and his cousin, they just yell at the wrestlers, "Boo, you suck!" You know,
like
scream.
We do.
Yeah, I'm like, this is great. It's
amazing.
Just like what I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well,
fun for the whole family.
They get into it and have favorites, like, and remember.
They don't know because it's just these guys you never heard of, but they're really good in the ring.
That's cool.
Like, do you remember the promotion? Do you know the name of it?
No,
promotion?
I don't know.
It's a Jersey All-Pro wrestler.
It might be.
You know, that's okay.
We were sitting in the audience, and next to us, it was like kids basically, and they brought out those like strings to like throw
streamers.
The streamers, excuse me, and they were rooting for the tag team that was against Andy's tag team.
Yeah.
So after they won, I turned like okay. So at first, like they're yelling at the ring, "What are you guys doing?" And I turned to them, and I'm like, "They're getting decimated. That's what they're doing."
Noah was basically your 7-year-old son.
I was so then at the end of the match, they're like kind of rolling back the streamers, and I'm like, "You can throw those now. Go ahead."
Noah was so excited last night. We got there, and then they had front row available, and she was like, "Oh my God, let's get front row. It's only $5 more. We got front row." And then our friend came. And she was like, "Hey, we got front row. You better hurry up so we can sit together."
Hey, you got, isn't it great being in the front row with those little matches?
It is so great.
Good. It's so good.
Yeah.
And we were right by the entrance, and they would walk by us, everything.
It's good and bad because you're also right in the front row, so the wrestlers see you. So, like, there was one point where the announcer fucked up and announced the wrong guy. And just like to myself, I said, "Oh God!" But I said it so loud. I mean, I'm right there.
He approached me after.
He did.
To be like, "I heard you laughing at me.
Fucking insecure."
Yeah. Well, he recognized me for metal injection, and he was like, "Oh yeah, yeah." But he was like, "But that wasn't my fault because there." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, you totally got screwed out there. All right, I gotta go."
The best is when they're having like those tag team matches and. One guy pretends he's hurt, so he's laying on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right in front of him, and they're just laying there for like 8 minutes.
Checking his phone.
Yeah, so he's just like, "Oh," like that. And you're looking at him like, this is
I love when they're laying and like.
But he has to be out of the ring for this.
They're just peeking up to see if it's their cue
yet.
They're
like, yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
There was a mess up of an ending. Like, there was a pin that wasn't supposed to be counted as a full pin. And then the guy got on the mic and was like, "No, that's not how you want the match to end, right?"
Well, it was basically it was four people, but it was like a guy versus a girl.
It was like a free for all, and the guy pinned the girl
and
accidentally.
Didn't get out fast enough. But Rob pointed that out as a mistake. I thought it was a part of the show because he's like, "What? You're not happy with it? You're not happy with it? Fine, ring the bell." And then he like starts like beating her, and I was like, "Okay." So he's like proving that he's supposed to win, and then it turns around and she.
And then she does one move and wins.
Yeah, so I believe
no,
this.
Rob, why are you spoiling it for Noah?
And then Rob spoiled it for me at the end by pointing out it was a mistake.
That's why I love going to wrestling with Noah. Noah makes me realize how jaded I am about how I'm like too like over analytical. Like, oh, they really botched this part right here.
So you really think it was wrong, the decision, right?
Oh, 100%. Okay. 100%. It was a mistake. Because also you could see everyone in the ring being like, wait, what the fuck? That wasn't like, and then he was talking to the ref and be like, let's take this over. We missed, because I think the ref wasn't supposed to count to three on the pin, but he did because nobody told him.
Well, the refs are supposed to count if the guy forgets to kick out.
You're right. It is the fault of the person taking the pin, but it was a fun time. Outlaw Wrestling was the promotion, and what I liked was it was over in
an hour and a half. Right?
Yeah, like 2 hours.
Yeah, they just get it done quick.
And
it doesn't drag on. What's that?
And they give you
it was 2 hours with the intermission, an hour and a half of without.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they don't waste too much time in between.
Yeah, it's short matches. Yeah. You're not like,
very interesting.
Come on. It was way, but like we went to a WWE show, which was like 3 hours. That felt like never ending compared to this, which was like, oh, great. We can go home. It was done before you were sick of it. That's how I did it.
Noah, did you get a good look at calluses of all the all the rest?
Who had the best hand?
Schlack.
Yeah. They're all like cut up and they're like scars from all the barbed wire he's been holding.
So wait, is Schlack his wrestling name or his real name?
Why would you choose that name?
Yeah, right.
It's his last name.
Like Schlackman. Eric Schlack.
Eric Schlackman.
Yeah, Eric Schlackman.
All right. That's fine then.
All right. Judarino asks if Virgil was there with his table, he was not.
And also Dusty Rhodes' forehead says Rob jerked off to old Dino Bravo.
Is that true? Oh,
Bravo.
That's not true.
No,
that's
Rick Martin.
Wasn't Tony Garea?
Oh, my God.
Tiger Chung Lee.
Deep cut with the Tony Garea reference. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show.